pocket the literature on enlistment. It isn't glory that I want, but just to get rid of the thoughts that I have had since I first felt I ought to do something, though I never felt I could except under what seems a sort of alien compulsion. I hate all crowds, I hate uncertainty, so naturally I hate the idea of being in the army in any capacity. At the beginning of February, Frost's final travel arrangements were falling into place. On the 6th of February 1915, he and his family arrived in Hampshire to say their goodbyes. In Frost's words, "Thomas and I had become so inseparable that we came to be looked on as a sort of literary Siamese twins, with a spiritual bond holding us together." With the Americans' retreat home, that bond would now be tested to the full, in what must have been a private agony for Thomas. Frost had brought him inspiration and humour, kindness and sympathy and understanding. He had listened with patience to his complaints. He had encouraged him in his marriage and guided him in his writing, roughed him up when called upon. And now Thomas would have to face all of this by himself.
Tomorrow, as the war continues, Edward Thomas wrestles with the conundrum of whether to enlist. Tobias Menzies read Now All Roads Lead to France by Matthew Hollis. It was abridged by Richard Hamilton and produced by Emma Harding.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock. Hello, this is Susan Ray with an hour of drama, the concluding part of The Wings of the Dove, Henry James's passionate story of love and money, with an outstanding cast including Anna Maxwell Martin and Toby Jones. And tonight, dark drama in The Rainmaker. What demons lie within the dark forest of the mind? A sinister tale starring Kenneth Cranham at 9:15. So now the final part of The Wings of the Dove by Henry James. Millie, now gravely ill, is staying in Venice. Kate's plan to bring Merton and Millie together is gaining pace, but Merton begins to realise that his own feelings for Millie are much deeper than he knew. Lord Mark's arrival threatens everything, and Merton and Kate aren't prepared for the consequences. Will Millie change their lives irrevocably?
On the water traces the ceilings. Look! The faces on the cherubs change as the sun moves.
I could spend my whole life looking at it.
And the balcony!
Come out!
You're a princess in a palace.
No, no, grazie.
Your own mooring.
It's all make-believe.
Have you minded being here alone?
No, it's when things speak to me most.
Oh, I won't disturb you, don't
you? No, not you, Kate. Don't you see? Here we can take off our masks. We can talk like we used to.
Yes. By the way, I must go and meet Maud and Susie. They're all ready for St. Mark's.
You like it, though, all this?
It's perfect. I couldn't have dreamt it better. Will you not come with us?
No, I like it here.
Kate, we're on our way!
Wish me luck.
Yes, let me be alone. Take them off, I don't care where. Absorb them, amuse them, detain them. Drown them, kill them if you will, so that I may just a little, all by myself, see where I am. I need light. And that is close enough.
The There is a visitor, Signorina.
A man?
English. How do you call very dry?
Lord Mark.
You want him to wait?
No, Eugenio. He's not as bad as he looks. Show him in.
Signorina.
I'm so glad no one else is here to spoil it.
Why have you come to Venice?
An impulse. I was shivering at Carlsbad and blue. I simply caught the first train. I heard from our friends...
You could overtake them at the Rialto or the Bridge of Sighs.
What a temple to taste.
Want me to walk you around?
A general prowl? How marvellous.
And this is the ballroom, the Salone.
Wondrous. Decorated to an inch of its life.
I never, never need to go down.
You don't go about?
Just here.
So you mean you're really not well?
What is my value? I won't last, but my money will. Does that intensify your vision? No. No. That ugly motive doesn't sit in your cool eyes. And after all, I am glad to see you. You are my one easy relation.
Well?
I go about here. I don't get tired of it. I adore this place. I think I'd like to die here.
Oh, it's not good enough for that. That requires picking. Are you in trouble?
You really want to know?
Do you imagine I can see you suffer and not say a word?
You won't see me suffer, don't be afraid. That's why I like this. It's so beautiful in itself, and yet it's so out of the gangway. You won't know anything about anything, and you don't. No. Not even you. I am very badly ill.
And you don't do anything?
I do everything.
What's everything?
Everything's this. One can't do more than live.
Have you advice?
I have the best advice in the world. As I say, live.
Oh, live.
Well, it's immense for me. I shan't have missed everything.
Why should you miss anything? Since you believe in advice, take mine. I know what you want.
I think I want not to be too much worried.
You want to be adored. Nothing would worry you less. I mean, as I should do it, it is so. You're not loved enough.
Enough for what?
To get the full good of it.
The full good of it, which consists in finding oneself forced to love in return, that I might find myself forced to love you.
Oh, forced? Is it so inconceivable?
To be so favorably affected?
To believe in me?
To try, in return for your trying.
I shouldn't have to.
As a healing and uplifting passion, it is in truth deficient. Come and look at the breakfast room.
Why do these people keep so much furniture? Whichever way you turn, you're going to step into something. How pompous this all is. Look, we're all in love with you. I'll put it that way, dropping any claim of my own. You were born to make us happy. You must listen to us.
No, that is just what I mustn't do. I won't listen or receive or accept. I can't make a bargain. You must believe that from me.
But you want somebody.
You oughtn't to have come to Venice to see me. You've much older friends than I. Have you not come for your best friend?
Miss Croy?
Maud.
Do you want me to marry her?
I'm just saying it's not as if I'm turning you out into the cold world. There's a very warm and expectant world waiting for you at the moment you choose to take it up.
You want me to marry Kate Croy?
Maud wants it.
What's the use?
Because she's handsome and clever and wonderful. If I were a man, I would adore her.
You think she's to be had for the asking?
Try.
So you really don't know?
I know, yes, that a particular person's very much in love with her.
And by the same token, she's very much in love with a particular person.
Well, you're wholly mistaken.
It's not true.
It's not true.
Are you very sure?
I speak on the best authority.
Maud's?
That's not the best.
You take it from Kate?
From Kate herself.
Then she's thinking of no one at all?
No one. She's given me her word.
And what do you call her word?
What should you call her word?
I've not asked her. You apparently have.
We're very intimate. She naturally tells me things.
You mean she made of you, of her own movement, the declaration you quote?
She said she had no private interest.
She took an oath to you?
She left me in no doubt whatever of her being free.
And thereby in no doubt of your being, too. You have another visitor. On the canal. Tell me his name again.
Mr. Merton Densher.
I must go.
Venice is one of those extraordinary places that is as you imagine it.
Does that disappoint you?
No. I still get lost here. I know it could swallow me whole.
So you won't stay where you are?
The hotel's full of cockneys of all climes. Germans, Americans, English. Too loud and not sweet. It sounds anything and everything but Italian. I'd like somewhere more private. I had a place last time I was here, far down the Grand Canal, a shabby asylum, but it had a sense of pomp and circumstance yet somehow, I don't know. I was somehow initiated into a more homely Venetian mystery. Green shutters. I like that. I might walk down.
Do you think all this too much of a museum?
It is a museum, but without fatigue, if you know what I mean. And something else. We float.
It's like being under a spell, isn't it?
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, he was just leaving.
So you're just staying here, keeping quiet?
I don't call it that. Not with all this, the art, the history. It has set off a whirlwind of suggestion in me that never drops.
Then we are blown together, you and I.
I hope you will not be bored.
You're here.
Oh, good afternoon.
Well, I'm glad you two are staying cool. It's so hot.
It is you who have placed me here. You. It's perfectly done, but for what? Oh, your pure talent for life. Thanks to that, here I am. No will left of my own. I must go. I think I will walk down and see about those rooms.
You'll come for dinner.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I go to neglect St. Mark's for the last. How can you stand in a line to look at angels?
I have done everything you wanted. What have you done? Nothing. Nothing whatever that I want. I need proof.
And so you took them?
I couldn't resist. My ancient padrona, her smile all a radiance. She pretended to recognize me. Everything so refined in its shabbiness.
He likes that sort of thing.
I move in on the morrow.
What's it like?
It is the humblest rococo, a Venetian interior in a true old note.
Sounds quaint.
Even these high chambers, Millie, though they are 1,000 grand things, are not that.
Oh, a challenge.
Then it's your plain duty on some near day to invite me for tea.
And this from a lady who will not make effort for a parish feast.
Or an autumn sunset.
For Titian or Giambellini, she will not come down. But for you.
Hush.
Millie, your frankness, sweetness, sadness, brightness, your disconcerting poetry. Whatever I have received my old rooms for, I have not received them for you.
You're doing beautifully.
Am I?
You're wonderful. You're beautiful. What time is it?
12:10. We've time yet.
Then we must walk. We must go towards them.
They're still in the shop. They're safe for half an hour. What's wrong with Millie?
She just didn't come down this morning.
What does that mean?
That you miss your daily tête-à-tête?
Such a hush in the palace.
There's a hush now, don't you feel it?
Can I ask you something?
Anything. Let's keep walking.
What was Lord Mark's a very superficial visit the other day for?
He came to make Millie an offer of marriage. She declined.
And then he left?
Well, he couldn't quite on the spot turn around and make up to us.
So, when I turned up, I found him leaving her. That's what had taken place.
She didn't tell you?
Oh, how great an ass he made of himself.
You are in love with her, you know.
And what does Maud make of him?
He's not committed to us. He was having his try.
And come back afterward to you?
Oh, but he has had his try at me, so it's all right.
You refused him?
I didn't let it come to that. I've been discouraging.
Oh, you've treated him beautifully.
I'm glad you can still be jealous.
Well, I take from you what you give me. Only you know what you give me seems to me the larger and larger size of the job you would have me do for you. What you expect of me, it never seems somehow what I expect of you. There's so much you don't give me.
And what is it I don't?
I give you proof. You give me none.
What then do you call proof?
You're doing something for me.
Am I not doing this for you? Do you call this nothing?
Nothing at all.
I risk everything for it.
With your aunt so bamboozled, you risk nothing.
We ought to be there. I mean, when they come out.
They won't come out. Not yet. I don't care if they do. Good God, if you'd only take
me. We've gone too far. Do you want to kill her?
Aunt Maud!
You know who I mean. We've told too many lies.
I have told none. Rather than lay myself open to the least appearance of it, I'll go this very night.
Then go.
I'll tell any lie you want, any your idea requires, if you'll only come to me.
Come to you?
Come to me.
Where?
My rooms, which are perfectly possible. We can arrange it with two grains of courage. People in our case always arrange it. There is nothing for me possible but to feel that I am not a fool. That's all I have to say. With you, I can do it. Without you, it's over. I must be sure.
Please take your hand out of my arm.
Oh, you two. We have bought the most delightful lace. Shall we breakfast?
Again.
Can one breakfast too often?
I know I could drink coffee.
Florian's.
Perfect.
Kate, go and find a table.
I'm going.
I'm so glad you're here.
It's a very wonderful experience.
In the shade!
Is Millie worse?
No, she's marvelous.
So she'll be with us at dinner?
No, she's keeping herself. There's to be a little party.
All this grandeur.
Well, it's lovely, isn't it? I want the whole thing. Bringing out the glory of the place makes her really happy. Sir Luke and his niece have arrived from London. It's for him she wanted to do something, to let it begin at once. So I greatly hope that you'll...
Stay on?
Tonight. There's to be music.
Why has she sent for Sir Luke Strett if, as you tell me, she's not worse?
Well, she hasn't sent. He came himself. He has wanted to come. He was coming from the first for his holiday. She has known that these several weeks. You'll meet him at the party. Tell him what you think.
What I think? Of Millie?
Yes.
That's none of his business.
This is my world now. This is everything.
You look incredible. I never saw you just in white. You look different. Younger. Fairer. Have you done this for your doctor?
I have done it for you.
The one thing I held in my mind was that we met before all this. This isn't just Kate's idea. It's your idea and my idea.
I must acquit myself as hostess.
Do you think her good enough now?
You know how good I think her.
Everything suits her. Especially those pearls. I'll trouble you to look closely at them. She's a dove. And one somehow doesn't think of doves as bejeweled.
She is a dove. Her spirit. And how we all nestle under her wings to a great increase of our immediate ease.
Pearls have such a magic that they suit everyone.
They would suit you.
Yes, I see myself.
You would be splendid. It's the one thing I cannot give you.
Yet. She isn't better, you know. She's worse. But that's nothing to do with us.
Isn't it?
No. We make her want to live. Tonight, she lives. It's wonderful.
She is beautiful indeed.
She's doing it for him, her doctor. She can't deceive him.
None of us are deceived. Do you know, I'm surprised Maud thinks me disposed of, if I am disposed of only to a girl who's dying. I don't, upon my honour, make out how all this serves anybody.
It helps you to serve me. It gains you time.
For what?
For everything. For anything that may happen.
Time for something particular that you regard as possible.
I am taking a trouble for you I never dreamed I would take for anyone.
But there need be none whatever between us.
Yes. Put it together. I'm not doing all the work for you. If you want things named, name them.
Since she's to die, I'm to marry her.
To marry her?
So that when her death has taken place, I shall in the natural course have money.
You'll in the natural course have money. We shall in the natural course be free. Yes.
I'm to propose then. Marriage on the spot.
Oh, I can't go into that with you. You must act as you like and as you can.
How can you like this? If you say you love me.
I don't like it. But I am a person who can do what they don't like.
I can't make out how you could even bear it.
When you know me better, you will find out how much I can bear. All you have to do is to stay.
And proceed to my business under your eyes.
No. No, we shall go.
Go? Go when? Go where?
In a day or two, home. Aunt Maud wishes it now.
Then what becomes of Millie?
She stays on, and you stay with her.
Alone?
You're old enough, with plenty of Susie.
Oh, it makes everything fit.
Everything.
So, you leave her here to die?
She believes she won't die if you stay.
And that's all that's necessary.
Didn't we long ago agree that what she believes is the principal thing for us?
What if she doesn't accept me?
You can but try.
Yes, but one has to try a little hard to propose to a dying girl.
It isn't as if she's dying when she's with you. Look at her.
The candor of your smile. The luster of your pearls. The value of your life. For you do live.
She's looking at us. You'll stay then, on your honour.
Without you?
Without us.
And you yourselves go at latest?
Thursday.
I'll stay on my honour if you come to me. On your honour.
We must not stand here together.
If you decline to understand me, I wholly decline to understand you. I'll do nothing.
Nothing?
I'll go off before you. I'll go off tomorrow.
And if I do understand?
I'll do everything.
Well, I understand.
On your honour?
On my honour.
You'll come?
I'll come.
No one may come here but you. This place. This room. You in. You are in all of my poor rooms. I keep you here, my love. me now in my constant communion. No, not communion. Immersion. If I sit very still, I can hold you. You are all in my poor rooms. You are still here. A ghost.
My love.
At the palazzo, you are completely vanished. You are gone. You are gone.
Why did you stay?
To write.
You'll do your book here.
I hope to begin.
You haven't begun?
Well, only just.
And since you came?
I think I've broken some ground.
I've made an awful mess of your time.
What I'm hanging on for is to repair that ravage.
Then you mustn't mind me.
You'll see how little I'll mind anything.
No, I mean if you want the best part of your days.
Oh, I'll make shift with the worst. The best will be with you.
Can I still come to your humble rococo?
Will it be safe for you to leave the house?
Safe? You think me so awfully bad.
I believe whatever you tell me.
So I'm splendid.
I know that.
I'm capable of life.
I don't doubt that.
I want to live.
If you want to...
I will.
That I believe.
I can.
You must.
So can I pay a visit?
Will it help you to live?
Every little helps. I don't want to miss anything.
You can come whenever you like.
Sorry. It's no matter. I'm an awful bore. I don't want to drive you away.
You won't drive me away.
I don't want to come. It's over.
You can do anything you want. You're free.
Well, I don't complain.
No, I know you don't complain.
And now, about your book.
Oh, I'm not doing a book.
You're not... writing?
Oh, I don't know, upon my honour, what I'm doing.
Then it's not for your book.
What I'm staying for?
I ask too many questions. You stay because you've got to.
Isn't it enough to stay for you?
That you must judge.
I might kill her. I am mixed up in her fate, and her fate is mixed up with me. One false move will snap the coil.
I want to show you something. I found something. Up here. Come up. It's a library, half hidden. What is it?
It's the light. Blinded me a moment. All these books. It's incredible. Like it's all been carved out and hidden away.
I slept up here last night. I couldn't sleep. It was too hot. I came and lay on this couch. I defy sleep. I defy oblivion. I looked at the stars and everything became so divinely true as to light up the whole of life suddenly and make everything clear. At dawn, I gazed up at those medallions and arabesques. See them? Everything became so still, I hardly dare breathe. Just the water. And then, without knowing, I slept the sweetest sleep.
Sognavo di case. Adesso sogno solo d'acqua.
What does that mean?
I used to dream of houses. Now I dream only of water. Of here. Where am I? I know this street, don't I? Everything's so familiar, and yet, which way? This, the old bridge I've walked over 100 times. Or am I somewhere completely different? I love this courtyard. The way you step in and out of the sun. It's so hot. Come down.
No, I've got the best view from up here.
Ah, but can you smell the flowers?
Oh, I can smell everything. My senses are so ripped open, it hurts.
You all right?
love this city. More than New York, I think. Am I allowed to say that?
I like it more than London. You could be forgotten here and it wouldn't matter.
Matter?
To me. No one would know where I was and I wouldn't care. All this would be grand enough. I don't know if I can explain it.
This whole other world, just a step away that we never knew. No, no, grazie. We sit.
You know, it's the tide. That's why everything keeps changing. Every day, the city's taken apart and put back together again. The colours. You're cold.
A bit. I don't mind.
You want more grappa?
A splash.
Don't let it go to your head.
I think everything's gone to my head.
The sky's so bruised.
I said to someone once, I didn't think I could be more alive than I was in that moment. I was wrong. How can one not live? I have no defenses left.
I must keep very still. No vibration. I am up to my neck. And there is deeper. So much deeper. Eugenio, the gates...
The Signora Padrona is not receiving.
Receiving? But I...
Neither of the two ladies are receiving.
Is she poco bene?
I cannot say.
Has something happened?
I think the ladies are a little fatigued. Just a little.
Something's happened.
I must go. Good morning, my friend.
No message? No invitation? What has broken the spell? Everything is obliterated. Everything we have been living on. For the thing that held us can bear no shock. And the shock, it has come.
Waiter. Cameriere. Un altro caffè.
Sì, signore.
You. Why are you here? Sitting there reading your paper like it is your right. Lord Mark, you have seen Millie. She has received you, and now I find her door shut. Why?
She has turned her face to the wall.
She's worse.
I don't know how she is. And that is why I've come to you.
Is she dying?
She hasn't so much as named you. We haven't spoken.
About me?
No more than if you were dead.
I am dead. Is she dying?
Then you know.
Yes, I know. And you know everything?
Not everything. That's why I've come. You've been extraordinary.
She doesn't speak at all, not just of me.
Of nothing. Of no one. She doesn't want to die. She lies there clinging to it all. I thank God that she's quiet. It would kill me if she were to tell me.
To tell you?
Only what harm you have done her. I don't know. I come and talk of her here with you.
Does she hate me?
I don't know. How can I?
Would she see me?
Would you like to see her?
If she could bear it, I'd do anything.
There is one thing. You know what it is. If you deny it to her, that might do something.
If I deny what?
What Lord Mark told her.
And what did he tell her?
That you've been all the while engaged to Miss Croy.
All what while?
I only repeat what he told her.
I saw him in the piazza. I knew he wouldn't have come for nothing.
He came for exasperation.
because she refused him.
How do you know?
I know it, but I don't see what good it does him.
The good he thinks may be to come. He doesn't know what he's done to her. Only we, you see, know that.
She kept from him what she felt.
She was able, I'm sure, not to show anything. He dealt her a blow, and she took it without a sign. He's an idiot of idiots. One could almost pity him. He has such a good conscience. He meant her the least harm. He intended none, whatever.
He only, of course, meant harm to me.
He has been unable to swallow what happened.
I saw that.
Yes. And he also saw you.
Then it was just revenge. Didn't he know? See her, feel her, judge her as having for such a suit as his not perhaps more than a few months to live.
He has doubtless been aware of what you speak of, just as you yourself have been aware.
He has wanted her, you mean, just because of the money?
Just because of the money.
Shall we have lights?
Not for me.
Nothing.
Not for me.
Where has he been since he was last here?
London.
With Maud. He will have proposed to Miss Croy. That's what has happened.
It's you who must judge.
Well, I do judge. Miss Croy's refusal of him will have struck him as a phenomenon requiring a reason.
And you have been clear to him as the reason?
Not too clear, since I'm sticking here. He has believed that I may have a reason at Lancaster Gate, and yet at the same time have been up to something in Venice.
Up to what?
God knows. To some game, to some duplicity.
A monstrous supposition. Will you deny it to Millie herself?
You're absolutely certain she believes it.
Judge.
Do you believe it?
What I believe will depend upon your action. You settle it. I'll believe you down to the ground if to save her life you consent to a denial.
But a denial of what?
Of everything. If I try and persuade her to see you, will you do that?
Welcome, my friend.
She will see you now.
Millie.
Waited a fortnight to visit me.
Do you have news?
Up to a day or two. Haven't you?
Is she still alive?
Don't you know?
Is she dead?
Not yet. Was it terrible?
Yes. But I don't think that... that though I'll try, I can quite tell you what it was. What it was for me.
I can believe how dreadful for you. Much of it must have been.
So Luke Strett has gone back to her?
I believe he's there now.
Then it's the end. He'll stay to the end. He's magnificent.
I think she's magnificent.
Oh, you don't know.
She is, after all, my friend.
You would have been sure of that, would you?
Of course.
So what about Lord Mark?
Lord Mark?
You haven't seen him?
Not since he saw her.
So you know?
Certainly.
And the rest?
What rest?
It was what took place when he visited her that killed her.
Oh. Susie never said anything.
She gave up beyond all power to care, and that's why she's dying.
Oh.
She was living by will, very much as you said.
I remember.
He told her that you and I were secretly engaged.
But he doesn't know
that it. That doesn't matter. She did by the time he left. When did you last see him?
That was what made her worse.
She turned her face to the wall.
Poor Millie.
She thought there was nothing between us. Well, as far as you were concerned.
It wasn't through anything you did that she gained her certainty. She got that from me.
It's handsome of you to take your share.
Do you suppose I deny it?
I don't suppose anything.
It wasn't your idea.
Don't go into that.
Wouldn't it have been possible to deny?
For whom?
For you.
To tell her he lied.
To tell her he was mistaken.
Are we engaged?
Of course we're engaged, but to save her life...
It wouldn't have done any good.
You mean she wouldn't have believed you? Did you try? You never met again?
No, we met. Once. She sent for me. I went to her. That night I left Venice.
Wouldn't that have been your chance? Of course, I know that seeing her, you could judge.
I did see her. If I'd denied you, moreover, I would have stuck to it.
You would have broken with me.
Yes. So you see how right I was not to commit myself. If it ever appears to you again, remember what I say.
You've fallen in love with
her. Well, then say so. With a dying woman, why need you mind? What does it matter?
Wait till she's dead.
She never asked me. I was with her 20 minutes.
She never wanted the truth. She wanted you. Just once more to look at her.
She had nothing to ask me. Nothing, that is, except not to stay. After he'd... She thought I'd taken myself off. Then she found days later I was still there. It affected her.
Of course.
If I was staying for her, she wanted it to end. She wished me to know there was little reason for it. She wanted to tell me so herself.
And she did?
Yes. As she desired.
And as you did?
No. Not as I did. I hadn't desired it in the least.
I'm glad.
Glad?
You did the right thing in staying. And that was all?
That was all.
That you mustn't wait. That was the point, to see her die.
That was the point.
And all this took 20 minutes.
I didn't time it.
Did she receive you in her room?
She received me, just as usual, in that grand old salon, in the dress she always wears from the corner of her sofa. Do you remember what you originally said to me?
Oh, I've said so many things.
You said she wouldn't smell of drugs. Well, she didn't.
So it was almost happy.
I don't think I can attempt to say now what it was.
Did she show anything of her feeling of being misled?
She showed nothing but her beauty and her strength.
So what proof have you that she was ever alienated?
She wouldn't see me for days and days.
Well, she was ill.
She would have still received me.
Well, you know.
And I know from Susie.
What does Susie know?
Everything.
Everything?
Everything.
Because you told her?
Because she's seen for herself. I told her nothing.
You don't need to be afraid of Susie.
I'm not afraid.
Do you want tea? Well, it's wonderful. You'll have some.
Hadn't we better wait for Maud? Propriety and all that.
Oh, you needn't mind now. We've done it.
Squared her.
You've pleased her.
What a brute I must be.
A brute?
To have pleased so many people.
You've done it for me. And the great thing is that Millie's satisfied, which is what I've worked for.
Satisfied to die in the flower of her youth?
Well, at peace with you.
Oh, peace!
The peace of having loved.
Is that peace?
Of having been loved. That is, of having realised her passion. She wanted nothing more. She has all she wanted. You may think it hideous that I should yet pretend to draw conclusions, but we've not failed.
Oh.
We've succeeded. She won't have loved you for nothing. And you won't have loved me.
I want you to be in no doubt, my poor Merton, that I'm with you to the end. She is stupendous. The way that poor girl wants to live. Why, in pity, shouldn't she, with everything to fill her world? The mere money of her, the darling. if it isn't too disgusting at such a time to mention.
I pretend you're already dead. It's the only way I can bear this. This waiting, this ugly ache. It cuts my breath away. I can't eat. I can't. Oh. I can't have anything to do with this. I can't think of you conscious. Suffering. Suffering. Don't, please. I can't. What can I do? What can I do? I would have stayed. You asked me to leave. It wasn't for me to stay. If it is over, as at any moment it might be, I can become good again. I can become something, at least for somebody. I'm good for nothing like this. Least of all you. Maud.
Sir Luke is not here.
I couldn't wait.
No more could I. He arrives, travelling straight, tomorrow early.
It's over, isn't it?
Our dear dove then has folded her wonderful wings.
I knew.
Unless it's more true that she has spread them wider.
This morning, last night, suddenly I...
For flight, I trust, to some greater happiness.
I felt her absence.
Should you be alone? Or wouldn't this evening dine with me?
Shall you mind if I don't tell you at once?
Not in the least. Leave it open. I shall otherwise sit there alone.
Without Miss Croy?
Miss Croy has returned to the bosom of her immediate family.
She's left you?
We differed. And when Kate differs with you...
I know.
They've had the misfortune, I suppose you know, to have a dreadful, horrible father. He's almost too bad to name, and has come upon her sister, and Marion has shrieked for help.
Come upon her for money?
Oh, for that, of course, always. But also for refuge, for safety from God knows what. He's there, the brute. And Kate's with them.
Yours, then, after all, is rather better.
It's at least more decent. Come if you can.
If I can.
Where will you go?
I don't know. So many things at seeing you in this place.
You didn't want to come.
It's not just a question of wanting.
You haven't decided what to do.
I have. Only with the sight of you here and what I seem to see in it for you. Your father's in the house.
In the house, yes. But we needn't fear his interruption. He's in bed.
Do you mean with illness?
Father's never ill. He's a marvel. He's only... endless.
When did he come?
3 days ago. After he hadn't been near her for more than a year. After he had apparently, and not regrettably, ceased to remember my sister's existence. In a state which made it impossible for Marion not to take him in.
In such want?
Not of food, not even, so far as his appearance went, of money. He looked as wonderful as ever. But he was, well, in terror.
Of what?
I don't know. Of somebody. Of something. He wants, he says, to be quiet, but his quietness is awful.
What does he do?
He cries.
What has he done?
If you love me, now, don't ask me about Father.
I love you. It's because I love you that I'm here. It's because I love you that I've brought you this letter.
You've not broken the seal.
It's for you to break the seal.
To break the seal of something to you from her.
Because it's from her.
It's the proof.
Proof of what?
The beauty of which you have been loved. I won't break your seal.
You decline?
I know without.
What do you know?
She has made you rich.
She's left me her fortune.
Not all of it. It's immense. But money to a large amount. I don't care to know how much. I trust her.
Did she tell you?
Never.
Take it.
You want me to take it?
In Venice, you were capable of an act of splendid generosity for that. I give you this.
This is my reward.
It is everything I feel.
You've had to do yourself violence, haven't you?
So it is here you meet me. Take it.
You absolutely desire it.
I absolutely desire you to take it.
To do what I like with.
Short, of course, of making known its terms. That must remain between you and me.
To hold it is to know.
Oh, I know.
Well, then, if we both do, I don't need it. I'll place it in the fire where it belongs. You'll have it all from New York anyway.
I see a man. A young man, far off, so hushed, staying his breath but half understanding, dimly conscious of something immense happening, and holding himself so tight, so painfully, so as not to lose it. It's too distant. Too strange. He has my own face.
She will see you now.
Millie, every part of it I have gathered. The essence I can't coherently. It was like something huge. Like ice, like fire at the same time. It was a dove. The lightness of light itself is the word forgiveness. There is not a word enough. But whatever it was, it went through every sinew. She went through me. Or was I transparent? I saw the young man for the first time. I felt the air touch my face. And she...
Dear Merton, my dear Merton, do you remember the first moment? I love... Dear Merton, if I could... The money's the least part of it. It means nothing. Merton, I am in the library. My darling, I knew. Knew. I didn't know. My darling Merton.
That I will never see her letter. That I will never see it, and yet I keep it so close. I take it out each day.
My dear Merton.
It is to me like a priceless pearl cast into the fathomless sea. I can hear it. It is a far, faint wail.
Merton.
It is that sound I hold. I cherish when I am alone in my room.
Thank you.
you ill.
So this is what it takes to bring you to my rooms.
The letter you sent me. Yes, I got it. This time I opened it. Broke your seal.
It's not my seal. The good people of New York, it's theirs. I would have preferred to send it back unbroken. Accompanied by a kind letter.
Is that what you're proposing we do?
Well, it's too late. Now with it open, we know.
Well, you don't know.
It would have been the best way.
You mean the unopened envelope would prove the refusal was not on the basis of the sum?
Something like that.
You didn't express that in your letter to me.
I wanted to leave it to you. To see what you'd do.
To see if I departed from delicacy.
To test you.
To see what I'm capable of. But now I know. I know how much...
Don't tell me.
Can you only do it blindly?
What do you think I'm going to do?
Refuse it. Isn't there some name for it? Not take up the bequest.
But there's something you forget in it. My asking you to join with me in doing so.
How can I join in a matter which has nothing to do with
it? How? By a single word.
What word?
Your consent to me giving it up. You're free to choose.
Do you not want to know how much? In your place...
What do you know of my place?
The facts will be published.
Published?
The papers?
I know how to escape that.
Your desire is to escape everything.
Everything.
And you still don't want to know how much.
I'm willing to believe it's not small.
It's worthy of her. It's what she was herself, if you remember what we once said.
Stupendous.
Stupendous. You see, I think you're afraid of all the truth. If you're in love with her without it, can you be more? And you're afraid. It's wonderful to be in love with her.
I never was in love with
her. For the time she lived, but the change came the day you last saw her. She died for you, that you might understand her. From that hour, you did. And now I understand her. She did it for us. I used to call her a dove. Well, she stretched out her wings and they cover us.
They cover us.
That's what I give you. That's what I've done for you.
So you will.
Consent. For you'll marry me without the money, but you won't marry me with it. If I don't consent, you don't.
Well, you lose nothing else. I make over to you every penny.
So that I must choose.
You must choose.
There is one thing that can save you from my choice.
What is it?
Your word of honour. That you're not in love with her memory.
Oh, her memory.
Don't speak of it as if you couldn't be. I would be in your place. Her memory's your love. You want no other.
I'll marry you, mind you, in an hour.
As we were?
As we were.
We shall never be again as we were.
In The Wings of the Dove by Henry James, you heard Blake Ritson, Anna Maxwell Martin, Lindsay Marshall, Claire Higgins, Barbara Barnes, Toby Jones and Sam Dale. The Wings of the Dove was dramatised by Linda Marshall Griffiths and the producer was Nadia Molinari. Tomorrow's drama is from a contemporary of Henry James, Arnold Bennett. On a whim, an American tycoon buys a hotel and is thrown into a world of Edwardian espionage and murder. John Sessions stars in Grand Babylon Hotel at this time tomorrow. There's no word of whether Arnold's delicious omelette will be on the hotel's menu.
Let me tell you about my life. I've been doing stand-up since I was 17. A life on the road is extremely unhealthy.
The award-winning comedian Andrew Maxwell is vexed about food.
I decided, you know, I was going to have to come up with some of my own rules. So basically, since I was 17, when I'm on the road, I only eat bananas.
A new series taking an oblique look at threats to society.
The scientific evidence I used to deploy that was, I've never seen a fat monkey.
Andrew Maxwell's Public Enemies. Hear it first in BBC Radio 4 Extras Comedy Club on Monday night at 10:30.
This is the news from the BBC. We transmit round the world and locally.
BBC Radio Young Writers, 25 years on.
I've got it!
He gets it.
Who's going to love you? Someone.
The first radio plays from writers who've gone on to make their mark in theatre, television and film.
What have you done to say you's a man?
Yeah, tell me what I should do, Dad.
Including performances from Alan Cumming, Steve Coogan, Mary Wimbush and Ian Dury.
There had been so many happy endings in the early days that they'd been difficult to handle.
Beginning with Benjamin Zephaniah's Hurricane Dub, Saturday afternoon at 1:15 on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Mel's here next, and I'll see you at 5 with some comedy ideal for tea time.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, it's Wednesday's 4 o'clock show with me, Mel Gedroych, and in our story today, my teacher is an alien. Susan does her best to unmask her substitute teacher as an alien.
Being angry gave me the strength to do what I knew I had to do. Taking a deep breath, I marched back to my room. Then I went through the door, staggered over to Mr. Smith's desk and pretended to faint. On the way down, I grabbed for his ear.
Does Susan succeed in unmasking Mr. Smith as an alien? Well, the next episode of Bruce Coville's great story, read for us by Lisa Bonet, is coming up today. And Susan, the heroine of our story, wants to be an actress. So we go to the beating heart of showbiz, Broadway.
Because so much of it is pulled out of my own life, it's funny, sad, and dramatic.
Author and Broadway dancer Tim Federley is on the show today. And in our series of special reports this week for Edinburgh Zoo's 100th anniversary, oh, I adore him. We meet Julius. He's so cute. And he's a lemur from Madagascar. So he's about the size of...
A large cat.
Yeah, a large domestic cat, I suppose, but with a very small head and a rather doggy nose and koala ears. But before we do anything else, we've got my magical mystery tour to start. As regular listeners will know, hello regular listeners, yes, very good. Every day on the 4 o'clock show, we go together on a magical mystery tour. I drop clues through the show and you will, hopefully, be able to suss out where we're going, and we arrive always towards the end of the show. Our story today is set in America, and that's where we're going today. We're going somewhere that had an influx of these creatures this summer. What is this creature with its strange clicking noise? And where are we going? More clues coming up. Answer towards the end of the show. It's Wednesday, and on the 4 o'clock show, that means Inheritance Tracks Day. We're turning to the world of music with the choices of singer-songwriter, pianist and BBC Radio 2's jazz man, Jamie Cullum. Jamie released his 6th album this year called Momentum. He says it's inspired by his family life with his wife, model-turned-author Sophie Dahl, and their 2 daughters. The album was written mainly in his pyjamas. Not bad for a boy who once played in a pub in Greenwich and was told to sling his hook by the landlord when no one turned up to listen. I feel your pain, Jamie. So what music would he choose to pass on to his children, and what was bestowed on him? Here are the lovely Jamie Cullum's Inheritance Tracks.
I've inherited Dave Brubeck's Take 5, originally written by the saxophonist from that band, Paul Desmond, but played perfectly by Dave Brubeck. I remember my dad picked up a Dave Brubeck tape, I think it was like a school jumble sale or something like that, and he goes, oh, I love this song. I named my university rock band after this song, Take 5. My dad was in a band called Take 5. He put that song on. And I hadn't heard anything quite like it before. It obviously started me on a journey of loving the whole genre of jazz music. At the time when I heard it, it didn't sound like anything else I was listening to. I was listening to a lot of pop and heavy metal and stuff with heavy guitars, and I hadn't heard music with that much space in it before. There was something airy about it. And I realised, of course, when I got older and became more interested in the mechanics of how music worked, I realised that what they'd done was write this very...